This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Bava Metzia, type number 6.
For subscription information, call us toll free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
Our Maggid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
This is the final tape of Masechta Bava Metzia, and we're holding on Daf Tzadik Vav Amar Aleph in the middle of the Gemara in the Sugya of Ba'olav Imai. We know that the Torah exempts a shomer from his liability to pay for the loss of the pikadon in a case of balav imai. This means that if the owner of the pikadon was serving or working for the shomer at the time that he entrusted his pikadon to the shomer is exempt from all responsibility in the event of damage or loss. And the Gemara asks, what if a person borrowed a cow just to make people think that he's wealthy, but not really for use? Or for normal use, or for normal hana? Or what if one borrows a cow from two shutfin, and one of them is in the service of the borrower, i.e. balav imai? Does he get the patur of balav imai or not? The Gemara says, take. If one sells his field to his friend for a few years, but just to eat peres, do we say kinyan ha-peres ki kinyan ha-guf dami, or not? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the buyer brings bikurim, since it says if he owns it, since we say kinyan peres ke kinyan haguf dami, and therefore he reads the special tefillah. But Reish Lakish says he doesn't read the special tefillah, since he doesn't own the field. He only has the right to the peres, since we say kinyan peres lav ke kinyan haguf dami. When a man has the right to the peres of his wife, this is peres nichse melug, is he considered a shayel or a seicher? Rava says he's neither. He's considered a lekeach, and it's like he bought it from his wife. And in Usha, they were mesakin that if she sells the peres while he's alive, and then she dies, he can be gaiva from the lekuchais. If during a particular work period, an animal became permanently very weak, does the shayel have to pay back a strong cow or not? The Gemara says no. And finally, if a person borrowed an axe and used it in a normal way, he didn't overwork the axe, and the axe broke, he's potter, since this is called mesa machmas melacha. A person borrowed a cat, and the mice got together and killed it. So the shayel is potter because of mesa machmas melacha as well. Rava says that if one person borrows an object from a public servant, such as a doctor or school teacher, who were hired to serve the public, the shayel is potter from his usual responsibilities, because it's considered a case of ba'olav imai. Since it's a public servant, the owner of the object is considered as though he was in the service of the shayel at the time of the borrowing. The Mishnah. If someone borrows a cow, but he borrows it for a half a day, and the second half day he rents it, or he borrows it for a full day, but he rents it tomorrow, or he borrows two cows and one dies, the lender claims for sure that the one you borrowed died, in case number 3, but he borrows two cows and one dies, or at the time you were a shayel, that's when it died, in case number 1. But the renter wasn't sure. The renter was shama exactly when it died. So we say, bari v'shama, bari adif. And the borrower is chayif. If the borrower is bari and the lender is shama, so the borrower is potter, since we say, bari v'shama, bari adif. If both are bari, the seicher swears and he's potter. If both are besafek, we say achleiku, since we say, mamen hamutl besafek, chalkin. Gemara. From the Mishnah, it would seem if Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me money, and Shimon says, I don't know, Shimon should be chayef to pay, since we say, bari v'shema, bari adif. However, Reb Nachman would say, pater, since we go after the muchzak, and bari cannot override a muchzak, i.e. Shimon, who's holding the money. If Reuven claims that Shimon owes him $100, and Shimon says he only owes him 50, i.e. he's made the mixas, the Torah is mechayef Shimon to swear, to substantiate his denial of the second 50. And then he would be pater. But if Shimon refuses to swear, he must pay the full $100, since we say, Miteich she'eni yachal lishava, mishalim. Al-Hadaf brings that Rava considers a case where Shimon, while admitting that he owes 50, says that he is uncertain as to whether or not he owes the second 50. Rava asserts that in this case, Shimon is obligated to pay the full 100. Although, in general, one is not mechuyev to pay when he's in doubt, bari v'shema, lav bari adiv. However, in this case, since he admitted to half the claim, he is subject to swear in denial of the other part of the claim, So long as he doesn't swear that he owes only 50, he must pay the full claim of 100. Miteich she'eni yachol lishava, mishalim. The Rambam in Hilchos Tayin Venita, Perek Dalad, Halacha Zayin, cites the following takana of the Ga'inim. The Ga'inim were concerned that an unscrupulous creditor may take advantage of this halacha by falsely inflating his claim when collecting a debt. He will automatically claim that the debtor owes a larger sum of money than they truthfully do, in the hope that his debtor may not recall how much he really owes. And consequently, based on Rava's halacha of Miteich she'eni yachol lishava mishalim, the debtor would be obligated to pay whatever amount the creditor demands of him. Thus, the Ga'inim, in an effort to deter this unscrupulous practice, empowered the plaintiff to conditionally place the claimant in cherem, dependent on the veracity of the claim. The Gemara says if both people are besafik, the Mishnah holds like sumchas, that mamon hamutl besafik chokin b'lei shvua, even though we have a muchzuk. The Mishnah. If one borrows a cow and gets it, or the owner gives it via the son, a shliach, or an eved, and it dies along the way, the shaila is pater, since it didn't yet enter his rishus. Unless the borrower clearly said, send it via the shliach. So then he's mekabel achrayas as soon as the item is picked up. Daf tzadik tes, the Gemara. Gemara asks, if the eved picks it up, why is the shaila chayev? We know that yad eved ki yad rabbi. So since the eved is a chelik of the bailim, it's still in his rishus, and the borrower should be pater. Shmuel answers, we're dealing with an eved ivri. So there's no halacha of yad eved ki yad rabbi. If a person borrows an axe, if he uses it, he's kain it. If he doesn't use it, he's not kain it. This is relevant vis-a-vis if the owner can change his mind. If it wasn't used yet, the owner can change his mind. If it was used, he cannot. Rabbi Lazar, however, argues and says, just like Meshicha applies to a sale and the owner can't be chayzer, so too Meshicha is a good kinyan for a shomer and the owner cannot be chayzer. Shmuel says, if a person lives in the chutzer of his friend without his knowledge, he still must pay rent. Rava says, we see that hektish shalei midas kehedit midas dami, since Hashem knows if you're using hektish, even if it's done in private. Daf kuf, the Mishnah. If a person exchanged a cow for a donkey, he made a meshicha on the donkey, but the cow was elsewhere giving birth, and we don't know when the birth took place, before or after the sale. The seller says it took place before I sold it. The buyer said it took place after I sold it. We say achleiku. If one has two fields or two avadim, one large one and one small. If it's bari v'shema, we say bari adif. If both don't know, we say achleiku. Gemara. The halacha of sumchis mamon hamutl besafik cholkin b'lei shvua doesn't apply if the required shvua is one which is midaraisa. Although normally, you don't swear on karka, but if a shvua is required on a beged, which is metaltalin, it can cause a gilgul shvua on the karka as well. An evid is questionable if it's considered karka or metaltalin. Mishnah. If one sells the right of the wood of his olive tree, who gets the rights to the olives? Mishnah answers, if it makes less than a revius of a lug, it goes to the buyer. If it more than a revius, then we say yachloiku. Daf kuf aleph, the Gemara. If a seller says, I want to take back my olive trees, we don't give it back to him because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We have to perpetuate the settlement of Eretz Yisrael. If a person plants a tree in the field of his friend, it's a machloikis, how much of the proceeds he will get versus what the real balabais gets. If a person rebuilds the house of his friend, Shalei Birshus, and then he wants to take back the bricks, Reb Nachman says he can, Reb Sheshe says he can't. But if it's a field, he can't take it back because we must provide and we must promote Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah. If someone rents out a house for the rainy season, the period between Sukkot and Pesach, he can't evict the person, the tenant, until Pesach. If it's in the Yemais HaChama, he can evict them with 30 days' notice. Obviously, he can't do it in the middle of the winter, because where's the person going to go in the middle of the winter? In a large city, all year, he has a 12-month lead time before he can evict a tenant. Gemara. If at the end of the rental period, you want to raise the price of the monthly rental, you can, especially if inflation dictates that a raise is due. In connection with the discussion regarding a landlord's rights and responsibilities for evicting a tenant, the Gemara relates the following incident, which is brought very clearly in Kuntres al Hadaf. A man, seeking space to store a shipment of wine, asked a certain woman if he could lease some storage space. Upon receiving a negative response, the man shrewdly proposed to marry the woman, and she unsuspectingly accepted his hand in marriage. Then, as a considerate wife, she gave her new husband permission to store his wine on her property. However, lo and behold, as soon as the man had his wine safely stacked in his wife's warehouse, he proceeded to divorce her, and he had no further use for her. The enraged woman then sold some of her ex-husband's wine without notifying him, and used the proceeds to hire some porters with instructions to dump the remaining wine in the street. Rav Huna remarked that the woman was justified in her actions, and the man got what he deserved for his unscrupulous behavior. Moreover, Rav Huna says, even if the woman dictates her willingness to lease her property to other tenants, she is nevertheless justified in refusing to keep this man as her tenant, since she has a valid reason to despise him. The Ritva makes the following noteworthy comment regarding this Gemara. He explains that one should not infer from this Gemara that any time a landlord finds even valid reasons to dislike his tenant, he is legally entitled to evict him in the middle of the term of his lease, or without the required advance notice, for there is no halakhic basis for doing so. The Ritva explains that only in a case where the landlord originally made it clear to the tenant that he is renting him the apartment only because he is his friend, can he subsequently evict him on grounds that their relationship deteriorated and they are no longer friends. Moreover, the Taz, as well as the Rama, who brings us the halacha in Cheshen Mishpat, Simen Shin Yud Beis Halacha Tes, adds that the only time he can do this is if the deterioration of the relationship was caused by the tenant's behavior, as was the case in our Gemara. Then the landlord is entitled to evict him. However, if it is not the fault of the tenant that he lost favor in the landlord's eyes, then the landlord cannot evict him simply because he is no longer his friend, even if the apartment was rented to him only because of their pre-existing friendship. The Mishnah. If a person rents a house, the owner must provide a door, a bar, a lock, and all craftsman-related items. But where no craftsman is required, then the renter must pay. Garbage belongs to the Baal Bayis, but the renter gets the ashes from the oven. Gemara. The owner must also install windows and keep the roof in good order. The seicher, the renter, must put in a ladder, a makkah, a fence around the roof, and gutters. Who provides the mezuzah? Gemara answers, according to Reb Misharsha, as we know, mezuzah chayves hadarhi. Mezuzah is the obligation of the one who lives in the apartment. Daf Kuf Beis. When a renter leaves this apartment, he cannot take the mezuzahs with him, because if he takes them, there may be a klala put upon him. But if one rents from a guy, then he should take off the mezuzahs, because we're afraid of bizayin. If there are no goyim involved, Tosfos explains on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis that the reason a person cannot take the mezuzahs off is because without the mezuzahs, without the protection of mezuzahs, the house is prone to be inhabited by mazikim, destructive spirits, and therefore one who removes his mezuzahs is considered as though he is doing damage to the incoming tenants. The Ritva explains that one should not remove the mezuzahs of his home, because by doing so, one causes the Kedusha Shechina, the holiness of the Shechina, to abandon the house. The Rama, in Yeradeya, Simen Reish Tzadik Aleph, Sif Beis, brings Rabbeinu Manayach's opinion that the old tenant must leave his mezuzahs, and he is permitted, however, to ask the new tenant to pay him for the mezuzahs that he left. A chutzer of a person can make a kinyan for him when the item is put in the chutzer, even if the owner doesn't know about the item. This is called kinyan chutzer. Regarding the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, the Gemara brings, one must first send away the mother. Only then can one take the baby chicks, shaleach teshaleach es ha'em, the Mishnah. If one rents a house for a period of a year, if it's a leap year, the renter doesn't have to pay the extra month. But if the nusach of the shtar says for 12 months, that was what was used, the extra month must be paid by the renter. Gemara. If a seicher claims he paid up the year, and the maskir denied it, so if it's within the year, the burden of proof is on the renter, since we assume he didn't pay, because schiras normally is paid at the end of the term. If it's after the year, the chazaka is that the renter did pay, and therefore the burden of proof is on the owner. Daf Kuf Gimel. A person can borrow an article as long as it's in good condition. If a person said, lend me this shovel to dig this orchard, he can only use it for this orchard. The Mishnah. If a person rents a house to his friend and it caves in, he must find a replacement house for the duration of the rental. If the house, however, was big, then he has to give him a big house. He can't give him a small house. If the house was small, he can only give him a small house, but not a big house. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak tes, hamakabel. The background. If someone takes the field of his friend to work it and give part of the profits, the proceeds, back to the owner, there's two ways a person can do this. One is called arisus, where a person pays the owner a percentage of what is produced. And the second way is called chachirus, that he pays him a set amount, regardless of what actually the field produces. And the Mishnah says if the minig of the place is to just cut off the plants, but leave the roots, then you have to do that. If the minig is to cut off the roots as well, you do that. Hakol lefi minig hamadina. The Seifa is only discussing arisus. Just like you divide the grain, you divide the stubble and the roots as well. As we mentioned before, in the case of arisus, the owner gets a percentage of what is produced. This includes the good parts of the grain as well as the bad parts. The Gemara. In Bavel, the minig was not to give straw to the worker. The posts that are used to support the thorn fence must be provided by the owner, since the rule is anything necessary to protect the workers while they work must be provided by the owner. But something related to making the work more comfortable, say air conditioning, must be provided by the workers. The next Mishnah. If a person took a field of his friend to work it and share profits with the owner, if the field has a spring or a tree of fruits, and these dry up, the Baal HaBayis doesn't deduct this amount unless it's specified up front. Daf Chof Daled, the next Mishnah. If a person agrees to cultivate a field to share in the profits, and instead he neglected it, you look to see how much it should have produced, and that's how much he must pay the Baal HaBayis, since that's what's written in the agreement. Gemara. If a man is wealthy, the karban he brings for his wife must be roy for a wealthy person, and he can't say, she's poor, I'm the one that has the money, she doesn't really have money, so therefore, let me bring a cheap karban for her. He can't do that. What if a guy had a deal to take care of a field of an owner and give him parts of the proceeds, but he neglected one-third of the field that he promised to cultivate? My answer is he pays one-third of what the produce would have been if he would have cultivated it. If he promised to grow sesame, but instead he planted wheat, which is worth less, but it doesn't weaken the land as much as the sesame would have. So Gemara says, as people say, it's better to weaken the land, so therefore this guy should have planted sesame. Daf Kofei. Rava said, if you have one investment, use one shtar for that one investment. If you have two investments, even if it's with the same person, it's better to use two separate shtars. The rule is that the mazel of two people is stronger than the mazel of one. The Mishnah. If someone took the field of his friend and he didn't work the field, he was lazy. Even if the Makabel said to the Baal HaBayis, what's the difference to you? I don't want to work the field, I'm too lazy, I don't want to work the field, but I'll pay you for the field anyways. We can still prevent him from ignoring the field, and he's still mechuyev to work the field. The next Mishnah. If someone took a field and it only generated a small amount of grain, if the Makabel wants to quit the job because he's seeing he's not being matzliach, he may be able to do that if the amount is very small. Gemara. If two people went up on a weak branch, one person was tame and one person was tar, the one who is tar becomes tame because the tame is supporting the tar. Rabbiani says, the shear for Shmon Esrei and Tefillin is 4 kavin, meaning that if you're carrying a burden and the Zman Tefillah comes, if the burden is less than 4 kavin, you can swing the kavin behind your back and daven. And we're not afraid that it'll disturb his kavana. But if it's more than 4 kavin and it's very heavy, he must put it down before davening because we're afraid it'll ruin his kavana. If one is wearing Tefillin and he carries a load on his head, if it crushes the Tefillin, it's considered a bizayin. The Mishnah. If a person takes the field of his friend and the crop was eaten by locusts or burned by wind, if this is a national disaster and it covered many fields, we deduct this amount from what the Baal HaBayis was scheduled to receive. But if it only happened to this particular field, we don't deduct anything, and the Baal HaBayis can tell the worker it was your mazel that caused this terrible thing to happen. Rabbi Yehuda says, if cash was used, and this is a case of chachirus, that a flat fee was to be paid, you never deduct from what the Baal HaBayis was to receive, even if it was a natural disaster, because he was set to receive a certain amount, and he received that amount regardless of what happens. Gemara, if the majority of the valley was affected, that's called a makas medina, a national disaster. Ula says, if 4 fields around it were also involved in this disaster, that's also called a makas medina. Daf Kufav, if someone sells a field when Yovel is observed, he can't redeem it for 2 years. If it was a year of drought or Shemitah, that year can't be included in the 2-year calculation. This kula of our Mishnah of locusts is only if the worker actually worked and planted. But if he never did that, we don't deduct, and he's chayev to pay the Baal Bayis the full amount. A shepherd left a flock that he was watching, and a wolf came and tore a sheep. So we assess if he could have saved the animal had he been there, because maybe this wolf wasn't that strong, then he's chayev. But if he wouldn't have been able to save the sheep anyway, because the wolf was going to tear the animal up regardless of whether he was standing there, then we don't say that. And he can't claim that a miracle would have happened. The Mishnah. If one was makabel a field and he was to pay 10 kor of wheat as a fee, if the field was smitten, you can pay the 10 kor from the bad grain. But if it produces good wheat, you must give him from the good quality. The next Mishnah. If one took a field and the agreement was to plant barley, you can't plant wheat, since it weakens the ground more than barley. But vice versa, it is okay, since it weakens the ground less. Shimon Gamliel says this is also usser. This Mishnah is referring to the case of chachronis, which is the type of case where we pay a set amount. Gemara. Shimon Gamliel says it's usser, since this is considered deceit. If you have an agreement for one thing, you can't do something else. Like we see by Purim, the money collected for the Su'uda of Aniyim should only be used for that purpose, nothing else. Daf Kuf Zayin. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not good to buy land near a city, because it's an Ayin Hara. And Rav explained, the Pasuk in Devarim, Baruch Ata Ba'ir, Baruch Ata Ba'Sada, Baruch Ata Ba'Vayecha, Baruch Ata Ba'Tzecha. Ba'ir, Baruch Ata Ba'ir, means your house should be close to a shul. Baruch Ata Ba'Sada means you should have a field near a city. Baruch Ata Ba'Vayecha, when you come home, you shouldn't find your wife to be a Nida or a Safik Nida. And Baruch Ata Ba'Tzecha, your descendants should be tzaddikim. Rabbi Yechanan interprets these psukim differently. Ba'ir, he says, means that the Beis HaKisei should be near your shulchan. And in fact, the shul shouldn't be close, the shul should be far away, since then you'll get more schar halicha. Baruch Ata Ba'Sada, your crops should be split into three parts. Good business and investment advice. One third should be used for tvua, one third should be used for olives, and one third should be used for grapes, i.e., you should diversify. Baruch Ata Ba'Vayecha or Baruch Ata Ba'Tzecha go together. Your exit from the world should be just like when you came into the world, i.e. you should have no chataim. Rav explains in the Pasuk of Ehesir Hashem Mimcha Kol Chali, Rav went and did some research in a cemetery and found that 99% of people die from Ayin Hara. Shmuel says, most stam die just through the wind. Rav Chanina says, all illnesses come from Shemayim, except those that come from a cold wind. The Gemara says there are 13 benefits from eating morning bread, including good health and intelligence, i.e. if you have a good breakfast, it's good for your health. In fact, 60 people can run and not catch someone who had a good breakfast. The Pasuk in Shmais Chof Gimel V'avadatem as Hashem Adaykecha Uverach Lachmacha V'esmeimecha. V'avadatem is speaking to Tefillah and Kriyashma. Uverach, bread and water. V'hasi Raisi, Hashem will take away all machlos. Daf Kuf Ches. Everyone, even Yosemin, must participate in building the walls around the city. The Chachamim don't have to participate because they don't need the protection. Torah protects them. However, to dig wells, even Talmidei Chachamim must participate since they need water as much as everyone else. When it comes to digging out a clogged river, all fields around it, the people who own those fields, must assist in unclogging the river because they all benefit from the water. If two brothers or partners own land, and someone between them, who is literally between the fields, sells out, the first right of purchase should go to them, so that they can join the fields together. In other words, if you have a brother, someone else in the middle, and another brother, so you should really ask the brothers if they want the one in the middle, because maybe they want to come together to be able to join up with each other. In fact, anyone who has a field, if the person next to him wants to sell his field, then really the first right of refusal should go to the neighbor. The neighbor has the first chance to buy that field because maybe he wants something next to him. This is called the Takana of Bar Metzra, declaring that when someone wishes to sell his field, the owner of the adjacent field has the preemptive rights to purchase the field before anyone else, the first right of refusal, as we call it. Since it is much more efficient to maintain two adjacent fields as opposed to maintaining two fields in different places, the Rabbanan decreed that a stranger may not buy the field if the neighbor is interested in buying it. Takana of Bar Metzra. The Gemara says that if Reuven sold Shimon the rights to build a house on his land, and Shimon subsequently decides to sell his house, Reuven should be given priority in buying the house which is on his land. Al-Hadaf brings Rabbeinu Tam, who comments that only in such a case, where the house being sold is on Reuven's field, does the takana of bar mitzvah apply when selling a house? However, he says, there is no takana of bar mitzvah with regard to two adjacent houses. The halacha of bar mitzvah only applies to fields where there is a great advantage to owning bordering fields, in that both fields can be plowed at the same time. However, there is no such advantage to owning two adjacent houses, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam maintains that the neighbor does not have to be given priority in purchasing a house adjacent to his. The Ravad, however, maintains that the halacha of bar mitzvah applies even to two houses, because sometimes two adjacent houses can be made into one large apartment by opening the adjoining wall between them. Therefore, he maintains that when selling a house to the owner of the adjoining house must be given priority, inasmuch as there is a certain advantage to owning adjacent houses, just as there is to owning adjacent fields. In addition, if at the end of the term of a lease a tenant wishes to renew his lease, the Taz maintains that the concept of bar mitzvah applies in terms of who has the right to rent the apartment. He says that the landlord is obligated to give the present occupant the option of renewing his lease before leasing the apartment to someone else. This Taz is brought in Chayshin Mishpat, Seif Simen Kuf Ayin He. The Ksais HaChayshin limits the obligation to a case where there is no significant difference between the two prospective tenants' use of the apartment. If, however, the present tenant has a large family, for example, and is liable to ruin the apartment, the Ksais justifies the landlord, were he to seek a new tenant with a smaller family upon the expiration of the first tenant's lease, that's okay to do. You don't have to give priority to the first tenant. If a meicher wants to sell land quickly in order to pay head tax, feed almanis or yusaimim, or for burial, the halacha of bar mitzvah doesn't apply, since we need the money quickly and we don't have time to offer it to the person right next door. If the buyer neighbor is a woman or yusaimim, there's no din of bar mitzvah, since they generally aren't involved in real estate to begin with. If one has two neighbors to your home and neighbors to your field, kadima goes to the neighbors of your home. If you have one stam neighbor and a talmid chacham, the talmid chacham has kadima. If you have a karev and a talmid chacham, the talmid chacham also goes first. How about a case where you have a close neighbor versus a distant relative? We say the close neighbor has kadima. And finally, if one has four neighbors, one on each side of a field, and they all came together to buy the field, you split it up diagonally, so each gets one quarter. An illustration of this is found on the picture at the bottom of Daf Kuf Tes, the Mishnah. If a person took a field of his friend to cultivate and share the profits for a few years, he's not allowed to do something that will weaken the land and be unable to be rejuvenated before he returns it. This normal term is 7 years. For example, he can't plant pishtun, flax, or he can't cut beans from a sycamore tree because it'll take more than 7 years to rejuvenate itself. But if the agreement was for more than 7 years, then he can plant pishtun since it will rejuvenate before he returns it. Gemara. Rabbi Yosef had a tenant farmer, Shasla. A shasla is a permanent tenant farmer who starts from scratch, plants, and takes care of the field until he dies. An oris, by the way, is a temporary caretaker of land who just does his job and then he leaves. This tenant farmer shasla died with 5 children. These yarshim get whatever shvach added value ends up on the field. If the shasla says, if I cause a loss, I'll leave the field without shvach. Rava says, he'll still get the shvach, since this is considered an asmachta, an exaggerated commitment, and we say asmachta loy kanya. And finally, if a teacher teaches the wrong thing, which a Talmud ends up having in his head permanently, or if a shasla makes a mistake, or if a barber, when he gives a haircut, messes up, they're all considered in a state of permanent warning that if they mess up their job, they'll lose their job and they'll be fired.